From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for December the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is Hour 2 of 2, and the goal always is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Great first hour. Hour 2 starts now. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You know, I'm not a fan of Governor Kasich, or Kasich, whatever you want to call it. But he's done some good, Kurt, and we got to give him credit, huh?
Well, that's right, Sam. I was pretty surprised to see this. The governor in Ohio there, I think he's kind of surrounded by a bunch of guys that he doesn't agree with. But, you know, in this case, the Ohio House has passed the heartbeat bill. They've also Kasich has conceded that he can't beat Trump, but he's they banned what was called the dismemberment abortions. Now, what if you wonder what that means? I guess in the second trimester, they have had a procedure known as dilation and evacuation, or D&E, that involves dilating the mother's cervix and then removing the baby's limbs using surgical instruments prior to extracting his or her remains from the uterus. That's basically just tearing a baby apart. And the Ohio right to life there is immensely, they say, grateful to our governor and our pro-life legislature for prioritizing this crucial legislation. That's what Mike Gonadakis, he's the president of Ohio Right to Life, said. And he added, Ohio Right to Life has seen 21 pro-life initiatives become law in the last 8 years. All of these initiatives have led to abortions decreasing by more than 25% in Ohio. Half of Ohio's abortion clinics shutting down. The bottom line is good news, Sam. Out of Ohio.
It's great news, and this is an example. You know what? I had no idea they've had, how many did you say, 21, Kurt? In the last eight years?
Yeah,
is that the number?
That's what it says here.
Did you have any idea of this, Kurt, that Ohio State, led by John Kasich, literally pushing for pro-life to the tune of 21 different pieces of legislative reality that have helped reduce abortions in the state of Ohio?
I'd probably disagree with the led by John Kasich, I think they're grateful that he signed it, but I also think that their pro-life legislature is where the main push has come from. And so that's, you know, I mean, I
yeah,
just
you could
don't
be right.
give too much, I guess you could say, credit to John Kasich. In my opinion, he's one of those guys that just gets in the middle of the road and gets hit by traffic running both directions.
But and many times you're right, but is Kasich a pro-life guy?
Well, they said Ohio Right to Life is immensely grateful to our governor and our pro-life legislature. So I assume that what that means is, you know, they're glad for both of them, even though
he's not as pro-life as would like, but at least he's doing the right thing on this one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, time will tell. All I'm telling you is I have not known about all this happening in Ohio towards pro-life. And this is an example where, you know, I really believe that pro-life is one of the most important issues we can work on. And it turns out that Donald Trump behind the scenes has done a lot for pro-life. So has the Congress. Not enough. I get it. But the states are really leading the way here, Kurt. And that's the takeaway that we ought to know. The states are doing
exactly
a great
right.
job all over the country in many cases.
And this, leader there in Ohio says, with 4 years of pro-life governor-elect Mike DeWine ahead of us, the prospect of ending abortion in Ohio has never looked better. now I guess that means Kasich is going away, and they've got a, what they call a pro-life governor-elect coming in.
Well, you got to like that, too, and I hope that they take it to the next level. And I kind of like this competition, Kurt, in the pro-life states, where they're just seeing who can get rid of abortion the fastest, who can reduce abortions, and who can get rid of the abortion mills and all this stuff in their states. And I mean, it seems like a lot of the states in the South and stuff like that are kind of battling to be first. We've got the most pro-life laws in the country, or the most protection for life in the country. And I like that competition, and I like that desire to say, let's up the ante here. And this, I think, is what the founding fathers meant by this competition amongst the states. And you can reside or live or be wherever you feel like the best environment for your beliefs are and things like that. And I really think that's a good thing. And we're seeing it in modern times with the pro-life movement, Kurt. It's pretty neat to watch. I just wish our state was in the runnings.
Yeah, good point, Sam.
But anyway, it's pretty neat to observe, and like I say, good for the pro-life Senate, or the pro-life House, I guess, in Ohio, and I'm glad that Governor Kasich is going to sign it. I'm glad that we're going to replace Kasich with a more pro-life advocate is the best way to describe it, maybe?
Good point.
It's great news in Ohio, tell you that right now.
Yeah.
All right, we got to go from great news to sad news in this Christmas season. Dateline tsunamis, Kurt.
Yeah, now, I don't know if you follow this. You know, a lot of times over the holidays, people miss some news reporting. But apparently, Sam, there's a pretty, a good-sized tsunami. And that so far, they've had the death toll up to 429. They expect it to climb. And this is a dateline or a... source is UPI, and they say this tsunami hit beaches full of people, sweeping them out to sea without warning. They say...
Just so people know where we're talking about, it's Indonesia.
That's right, good point. Now they say there's some other villages and places where they haven't been able to reach. They say that... this thing was believed that the eruption of a volcano forced some rock to fall down and fall into the water, a pretty good batch of it, and they say displaced the water above it, which makes this big wave,
And, so the volcano erupted and triggered the tsunami, right?
Yeah, the rock falling into the water, And then you have like a 15-foot wave that comes over and just,
slams the
washes
coastline.
People out to sea or whatever.
Yeah, as far as I understand, there was a rock band that was playing and they were celebrating and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, the waves just literally destroyed the building they were in. And some of the band members lost their lives and things like that, too.
That's right. That's
it's a horrible scenario. And our prayers are with the folks in Indonesia this Christmas season.
Yeah. And even Pope Francis asked the world to pray for the victims of the disaster. He said, "My appeal is that these brothers and sisters may not lack our solidarity and the support of the international community." So there's work to be done, Sam.
Well, our prayers are with them, as the Pope says, and I say good for the Pope. You know what? That's right. We need to pray for these poor people that are suffering in this. And... we need to do our best to try to help. We don't need government funding, but we do need private sector charitable organizations and humanitarian efforts around the world. And our prayers are with these people. And what a horrible tragedy. When a lot of those events happened in the Philippines and things like that with hurricanes and all that kind of stuff, we encouraged help. And we do the same here. That, the poor indigenous people are suffering from this, and we would like to see all the philanthropy that we can get brought to bear on this, all the kindness and charity and service and love and humanitarian efforts we can bring to bear here would be great.
Good point, Sam. And if you're keeping track, if you've got some kind of records you keep about tsunamis, I guess a couple of months ago they had one that slammed into Indonesian island of Sulawesi, killed more than 2,000 people. Indonesia's worst disaster to date was the 2004, they call it the Boxing Day tsunami, that killed nearly 230,000 people. By the way, they have had a what's called a tsunami warning system in place, but it's inoperable now, they say, because of vandalism and technical problems. It's been that way since 2012. No tsunami warning system there going on. Huh?
Yeah, and it's a sad tale to tell. And again, I encourage all the help we can possibly give. But I also want to say, though, that we can't ignore this. We need to turn people to God in prayer. We need to turn people to God and have people repent and obey the commandments. And I'm not saying that just the Indonesian people are wicked and they deserved it. I'm not saying anything of the sort. I am saying that the more we, the people of the earth, turn to God, the more blessed we'll be. The more protection we will receive, the more we obey his laws and keep his commandments, the more we can care for one another and serve one another and reach out to one another. And this is an example where joy from giving lasts much longer than joy from getting. But we can give and let the people of this disaster zone who really need to get right now, we can let them get the benefits of our service and our kindness and our love. And anyway, our prayers are with them. What a horrible tragedy. And I think now that we have a little less abortion in America, we'll have a little more blessings. And I think the more we can now reach out to these poor people that are suffering. Because remember, the death toll is only at 429, but the pain and loss and suffering and lack of food and sanitary conditions and everything else are where the real toll is happening right now. And anyway, our prayers are with them. The Great Wall of China in the news coming up on Liberty Roundtable Live.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Right, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on your radio, praying for the folks struggling in the death toll from the tsunamis, the pain and suffering. We can provide relief, and we ought to do it in the private sector. All right, Kurt wants to talk about the Great Wall of China.
Well, Sam, at least we talk about this, Great Wall of Trump, if you will, or, you know, they say they want to... they make fun about it or whatever, and it's, you know, if it were ever to be built, it would be like, 2,000 miles long or whatever. It was amazing to me just to learn that the Great Wall of China was basically more than 13,000 miles long. And when you see that and you take a look at it, it's, you know, it's an impressive wall from what I've seen. You know, I'm talking about high up and, you know, how President Trump says he wants to have a road with it. Basically, the wall of China's big enough where they can basically drive right down the top of it, you know, from what I can see on it. And so you don't hear much about the building and the reason for the Great Wall of China. And according to Wikipedia and other sources, it was done to protect the Chinese Empire against raids and invasions of these different groups or whatever. And it seems like it would be a good tool to use to say, well, the Chinese, you know, put this up to protect their country. Why couldn't a wall protect us?
It's also interesting to note, too, we debate what the wall's going to be made of. Is it going to be steel slats? Is it going to be see-through so you can see the enemy on the other side? What, you know, what's it going to be like? And the Great Wall of China is a series of fortifications, they say, Kurt, made of stone, brick, tamped earth, wood, and other materials. So that's kind of interesting, too, right?
Yeah, and as far as I, you know, it was done for many years as far as I, you know, studied up on it. And so I assume that, you know, they got better at it. They built it, you know, better and all that kind of stuff as they went. But, you know, I mean, on the pictures that I've seen, basically, instead of having the Border Patrol guys standing down by the side trying to look through the little slats, on the Great Wall of China, they basically go along the top of the wall and they can see, you know, anybody coming from up there, you know. So, anyway, it's interesting to me.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing where we don't really want to follow the communist Chinese example necessarily.
No, but of course, back then, I don't believe that China forever has been communist. You know, I think that probably in their early years in the China world that they did it simply to protect themselves. And you know, it seems like when you see these, invasions of places or whatever, typically almost any people have a wall or some kind of way to protect themselves from outside invasion. And,
that's right. The other thing interesting is how much would the wall cost if we talked about making it like their wall is, Kurt, as opposed to, you know, debating shiny steel and debating this and that. And, you know, what I mean is how high tech does it need to be and how expensive it doesn't need to be. And I kind of think we could build the wall for a whole lot less if we would simply, you know, look at it more of a defense mechanism. You know, through the history of the world, they built walls pretty cheap, not counting labor. Right, Kurt? And there should be plenty of labor.
Well, yeah. And you could certainly have each one of those counties along those border counties in America that you could say, look, let's work with each one of these sheriffs, each one of these county commissions to find good people in their area to take care of these things. They know the lay of the land. They know the people there and all that kind of stuff. It seemed like there'd be a great opportunity to work with those local counties.
You would think so, but that's only if we're going to obey the proper rule of limited constitutional government, Kurt. I mean, you know. All right, let's go to Iraq. You got Iraq and Iran. They're both in the news, huh, Kurt? Both countries.
Well, yeah, Sam. I, you know, at least these are both stories from Breitbart, and I just wasn't aware of this, but Iraq has now made Christmas Day a national holiday. I guess the cabinet there voted in favor of amending their national holidays law to include a holiday recognizing December 25th as the occasion of the birth of Jesus Christ. It says they coincided this with a visit to Iraq by a cardinal from the Vatican, they say they've got estimated that they've got 1.4 million Christians that reside in Iraq, you know, bottom line is, at least to me, instead of maybe having all these wars between the different religious sectors or sections, you might have peace, Sam, and you might have a little less war. So that's
amen
your
to
Iraq
that.
One.
By the way, do you know what the population of Iraq is, Kurt?
I don't.
It's like 39 million people.
All right.
So when you have, 1.5 million, is that what they said?
Yeah.
So that's...
It's a small group, but it's...
Yep. Well, it's a big group, though.
Nice to protect them, you know.
All I'm telling you is it's what, almost 3% of the population there?
Recognize it, yeah.
And I say that's good news. And again, you know what? Christianity is a small group in the world.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I believe it's a group that we need to protect. And I don't mean we don't need to protect others, but I do mean to say that you know, Christianity is where freedom, in my mind, begins, Kurt, to a great degree.
Yeah, and we need to protect all life, you know.
That's right.
Anyway, Iran's former president, according to Breitbart, he says Merry Christmas now. So you got the Iraqis and Iranians and, that typically are not known as... friends to the Christians, as far as I could see.
Well, typically. Maybe they're becoming more so.
Yeah. And, rather than us promoting the warlike kind of stuff, wouldn't it be nice to just, say Merry Christmas?
Well, and it'd be even nicer to act Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? Meaning I'm for saying it and all that, but I'm also for kind of a Merry Christmas actions or a follow the Prince of Peace idea. And I just find that interesting. You know, we hear how horrible the world is and how there's terrorism and killing and trouble everywhere. And I, to a great degree, I think we do live in perilous times. That's true. And I don't mean to ignore that by any means or dismiss that or minimize the reality that we face or anything like that. But we do want to really kind of double down on this idea that there are good people doing good things that you just don't hear about. And I'm grateful to Breitbart for bringing these piece forward. I mean, did you know that Iraq made Christmas Day a national holiday? Recognizing Christianity?
I mean, didn't know that. I was unaware of it.
It's pretty big, isn't it, Kurt?
Well, I think so. I mean, I really do believe that if you ask most people that question, they would say, no, didn't know that,
And then Iran's former president, how do you say this guy's name? Mahmoud Ahmadinejad?
Yeah, that's pretty close. I think.
Anyway, I don't know how to say these words, but nevertheless, this guy's saying Merry Christmas, and he doesn't have to say that, and it's not perfect, and we got a long way to go. I get it.
Yeah.
But I also get that you got to start somewhere.
That's right.
And I also get that, I didn't know that there was that many Christians in this country. Did you know there was 1.5 million Christians in Iraq, Kurt?
No, and they say there's less now since, some of the recent things happened, but the bottom line is, you need to protect life wherever it is.
Yes, of course. Yeah. But you also promote Christianity wherever you can, too.
Well, I think so. Not in the effort to oppose something else, but to promote these ideas of the Prince of Peace,
The population of Iran is 82 million people, so it's about double Iraq, Kurt.
Very good.
Between the two of them, it's like 120 million people. It's quite a few people there, Kurt. And I'm just grateful that they're recognizing Christ and Christianity. And I know people will call me up and say, Sam, it's overwhelmingly hostile to Christians. Haven't you researched the latest? Don't you know what's going on over the last many years? Yes, I do. I get it. I understand. I agree. I'm not dismissing that point at all. But I am highlighting something that you did not know, which is Iraq makes Christmas the national holiday, and the former president of Iran literally says Merry Christmas. It's a start. And it's a good start. Well, other folks are jailing people, not just the United States. I guess an Aussie man got jailed. We'll tell you about it. Sam and Kurt in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie. Lie, lie, and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam and Kurt back with you live, breaking down news the networks refuse to use like nobody's business. I guess an Aussie man got jailed, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam, this guy, what happened was he found out that he kind of, you know, had a, I guess you could say, a special deal going on with the ATM system. And so when he would go to the ATM, he basically could just kind of get money out anytime, and some kind of a glitch. And, you know, he basically got like $1.6 million out. He even hired private jets, ate at lavish restaurants, spoiled his mates, his buddies with expensive gifts. Finally he felt bad enough about it. He pretty much just turned himself in. And, now he's in jail.
Wow. So what do you think of this guy, Kurt?
Well, what I think, he knew there was problems with this whole deal. Like the story goes, it sounds like a plot for a movie, but, he knew that something was wrong, he just kind of enjoyed it while he could, but finally just said, hey, this wasn't right. He said in the first few weeks alone, he spent $20,000. soon enough, that figure turned into a whopping $1.6 million in about 4 months. He admits the decisions he made during that time probably weren't the decisions he'd make if it weren't for finding some crazy ATM loophole.
But is there any accountability for this guy, Kurt?
Well, he's in jail. He says it's the article from .au or down under.
How come this guy goes to jail but Hillary doesn't, Kurt?
Good point. I guess it says he went down the road to withdraw cash from an ATM but didn't have any funds, so he transferred money from his MasterCard to his savings account. It came on the screen, transaction canceled, but it worked and the money was there. So I got the $200 out, thought nothing of it. This is when it first started, you know. And he said, curiosity got the better of me, and I walked past the ATM again, and I was like, wonder if you can do that for another $200 or another $500 or $600. It baffled him, he says, when the money kept coming out but not appearing on his statements, and so he couldn't resist.
Point to this story, in my opinion, is if we have honest money, and I know this is in Australia, so they don't have a constitutional honest money requirement that we have that we continually ignore. But I bring this up because it just shows the wisdom of the founding fathers that, you know what, if you had honest currency, if you had gold and silver coinage, this couldn't happen, Kurt. So you got this
good
dishonest
point.
Guy that can't resist, but you got a government enabler, right?
He said it's a pretty addictive thing to make
it's pretty
money,
addictive to make fake money out of nothing, isn't it?
Good point.
And that my point is this guy's doing it and he's in jail, but the governments do it all the time.
I guess when he spent $90,000 on a private jet to take him and a bunch of his mates to a remote Asian island for a weekend, it says, however, as much fun as he was having, Mr. Sanders admitted to constantly peering over his shoulder, making the decision to put an end to his double life. He said, I think the money and the general good time made it bearable, but I always knew something, someone would come or something would happen. So it was quite baffling when someone didn't come, he said. At the end of it, I had to say to myself, am I an international criminal who's just going to transfer money away and never be seen again? That's when I stopped doing it, because I asked myself that question and the answer was no. Eventually, the law did catch up with him, but only after he outed himself to the bank and newspapers about what he'd done, the program reported.
Well, Donald has the opportunity for the United States government out itself and go back to honest money right now. Kurt, he could do it for Christmas.
Good point. The key thing, at least to me, is you could point out in this story that they don't point out the fact that how much does that money really cost the banks, especially the guys who initially print it, Sam?
Well, it's all fake money. It didn't cost them hardly anything, buddy. Like, 2.5 cents per $100 bill or whatever the guy got out, right? Plus interest. And this is the sham of governments. And the problem is the government just doesn't like competition.
Yeah.
That's the problem with that guy.
Now, but it was a pretty interesting story. I didn't see it very anywhere else, But across the pond,
All right. Do you know who this person is? Chai Feldblum?
Chai Feldblum. Name doesn't ring a bell, Sam.
Well, it's of the Chai Feldblum is of the EEOC, Kurt. And
that gets worrying me.
This person believes that the LGBT agenda trumps religious freedom, Kurt.
Oh.
Okay, now the good news is that her term has expired.
Okay.
But the bad news is that President Donald Trump has renominated her to continue as commissioner of the EEOC.
That's the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. I think that's one more thing that you ought to just shut down, Sam. There'd be no money going to it,
And Christians are saying we must stop this appointment. I agree, Kurt. Yesterday.
Yeah.
We must stop this appointment. Let's not waste this moment. Liberty Counsel brings us the details, and I commend them. But why would Donald Trump promote this Chai Feldblum person or whatever? Look, it's a chance to drain the swamp. Again, renominating this person, putting her back in. No wonder we got the lesbian, bisexual, transgender agenda in the trade agreements. And no wonder we got, the Labor Commission or the EEOC promoting this. And I mean, what is Donald thinking, Kurt? He just demands that we have swamp monsters everywhere. He tells you we're draining the swamp, but every time I turn around, he's not draining the swamp. This is a great opportunity to get rid of her and put a good Christian leader there, Kurt.
Yeah, I guess she was originally put there by President Obama.
Donald loves the Obama swamp monsters.
Just flush the whole thing and say anybody I didn't put in is gone. And now, here's the new people in any of those places where you don't want anybody, where you have unconstitutional government, you just close it down.
Well, and even if you don't close it down, if you get a good person there that will understand it and run it according to moral principles or whatever, right? It would be better.
I guess she's openly lesbian, according
yes. to... So why would Trump take an Obamaite, renominate her, knowing what she is and what she stands for and what she does? Knowing that it's an Obama holdover. And then what will happen is the EEOC will run off the rails, and then Donald will be like, oh, man, these swamp monsters, just they're getting me all the time. What are you talking about? Okay, why did she even serve for the last 2 years under Donald? Much less get renominated by him. I mean, I just don't understand it, Kurt. Do you think he doesn't know?
I don't know what to say. I don't know, Sam. But I can tell you this, that, according to the Wikipedia thing, it says she testified that she therefore asked for her name to be removed from Beyond Marriage. It's a document that supported legal recognition of a variety of non-traditional relationships besides marriage, including committed loving households in which there is more than one conjugal partner. But she's an openly lesbian individual. I just think the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is not supposed to be part of our government. It's just one more thing that we're not even supposed to even have. And
I'm just telling you, this is more swamp from the Donald, Kurt. And this is an example where who's even telling you about this? The mainstream press is going to be quiet because they want their guy to stay there.
Yeah, good point.
Now, Liberty Counsel brings it up, and I say I commend them. But, man, I don't want this Chai Feldblum person there. But Donald does. All right, we got to go across the pond to see this story, but I just find this one fascinating, Kurt. Worth serious discussion. I'll give you the headline. We'll take a break. We'll come back and break this one down for you. Headline says, protesters storm BBC headquarters. Lock it down. Demand that the BBC declares a climate and ecological emergency. I don't know if you saw this, but let's talk about it. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
All
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
All right, live on your radio. We're talking about the BBC. And I guess around the world they got shut down, folks. Looks like protesters stormed the BBC headquarters. They lock it down, and then they demand a declaring of a climate and ecological emergency. Bands of environmental protesters put the BBC's London headquarters on lockdown last Friday. And they demand that the world's largest news broadcasters make global warming its, quote, top editorial issue. The BBC, of course, have already had plenty of specials on global warming and environmental issues before, but that's not enough for activists with this group. What are these guys called? They're called Extinction Rebellion. And hundreds of activists stormed 8 BBC locations across the UK in Berlin, the UK, other places, according to Extinction Rebellion. The group sent a list of demands to the BBC on Sunday, including demanding a meeting with the BBC director, General Tony Hall, to discuss how the BBC can tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, on the climate and ecological emergencies. The group's list of demands also included treating global warming at the level of urgency placed on informing the public about World War II. The letter demands that the BBC declare a climate and ecological emergency. And anyway, I guess these protesters with this group called Extinction Rebellion literally chained themselves outside of the BBC gates at the offices, making a list of demands and calling on the BBC to improve coverage of climate change emergencies. Now, you ready for the kicker on this, Kurt?
Sure.
No arrests so far.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Kurt, I don't understand this. You've literally got these people committing, in my mind, acts of terror here. I mean, they're out of control, but there's no accountability whatsoever. Now, I don't know what even to say about this, but this is an example of where if we let this continue, pretty soon this will be happening in America, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
I just look at it and don't understand it. How do we let this stuff happen? But did you even know the BBC got locked down, Kurt?
No.
And did you know they were literally chaining themselves to the gates out front and demanding literally that they treat climate change as big of an issue as like announcing World War II when it began? It's like that big of an emergency, wall-to-wall kind of coverage, they're saying.
Didn't know.
No arrests so far in this. I just don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he who owns the media makes the rules. Why aren't we told about this, Kurt?
Well, they don't want to talk about it, right?
Well, do you think it's going to happen in America?
Very good chance.
I pray it doesn't. I mean, this is just off the rails crazy. this idea that somehow we need to treat this as a big of an emergency as announcing that World War II started? I mean, Kurt, these are the climate change people that with the United Nations are saying that we ought to be arrested because we don't believe in climate change. So we're not going to arrest the protesters that literally shut down one of the biggest media operations in the world? We're not even going to mention it in the American press, and we're going to not arrest anybody over in Europe. But then if you and I don't believe in climate change, they're literally talking about arresting us for our lack of belief. I mean, it's like, wow. All right. Anyway, I just found that startling, and I submit to you that as long as they don't create any accountability here, these terrorists and these no-gooders are literally running around doing all this stuff. If we don't have accountability, it's going to get worse. They're going to be emboldened by the lack of, accountability? No arrests so far. It's just shocking. All right, Kurt wants to tell you about some twins. These twins are a trip.
Yeah, it's a weird story, Sam. Bottom line is these twins say they're in love with the same man, and where they live, apparently it's illegal for two women to marry one man, and they kind of want to change that law. It's just a way out kind of story for me.
Yeah, so these two twins want to marry their shared partner, and the law bans it right now and prohibits it and says, look, you can't have a threesome marriage, Kurt?
I guess. They say it's not to be, like the spelling is K-N-O-T, like tie the knot. These are what they call the world's most identical twins, Anna and Lucy DeSue.
Now, I don't understand how you're the most identical twins. Is there identical twins that are more identical than the identical kind, or what?
I guess. When you look at them, they're really identical. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I do know.
Western,
you ready?
Australia. What's that?
They are sons and daughters of God, just like everyone else, and they're individuals. They might have the same DNA. I get it from a physical perspective, but I'm telling you, they're individuals to God. And they're accountable for their own actions before God, and God loves them individually. And they are separate spirits or separate sons and daughters of God, and he loves them. And let's not obliterate that in science. Let's recognize that in reality, okay? Just wanted to make sure we double down on that, Kurt.
Yeah, I guess the trio began dating. Ben, the guy, lived a 40-minute drive away. They say he treats them both equally. If he kisses Anna, he kisses me right after and holds both our hands when we're out, explained Lucy. So, I mean, it's just a little strange, if you ask me, Sam.
Well, Kurt, if you don't turn to God for guidance, everything gets wacky and strange.
Yeah,
all the time.
Amen.
And it always will. Right? So I'm for the law banning this, Kurt. What do you think?
Yeah, it seemed like
a good idea.
yeah, I would recommend it.
Now, where do they live? They're not in America, are they?
Australia. Okay. Perth, Australia.
So they probably moved to America and would probably allow it, right, Kurt?
Yeah, well, I mean, freedom. You know what I mean, Sam?
Yeah, they'd say political asylum. We're not allowed to marry over here the way we want to, and America will let us marry any way we choose. And so, hey, and if you protest it or stand against it, then you're just like a bigot. You ought to be arrested with the climate protesters kind of a stuff. All right, I guess Brazil's in the news. Kurt wants to tell you about Brazil. Update.
Let's see. What happened there? I'm trying to remember. Brazil.
I guess they have these conservatives. Well, I don't know if they're conservatives or what, but they're turning their ambitions towards global anti-socialist alliance. I don't really know what that means.
Well, yeah, what it really means is, there are some people that figure out that things like Venezuela don't work, where you have socialism and communism and, that in the end people end up hungry and without a job, et cetera, and the guys there in Brazil have, at least some of them have figured it out, Sam, which is kind of cool.
Well, it's kind of cool. But I don't like the way the news writes this. Okay, and what I mean by that is I'm more for pro something than I am anti something. So what are these guys pro, Kurt? Because I don't like them being pitched as anti.
Yeah, they would be, you know, at least, in my opinion, pro-freedom and pro-liberty.
Well, I'm in support of that.
You know, but when the media calls it, you know, like you say, it's called another way.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that's just how they always pitch it. And I don't like it, because I think it doesn't represent the truth, really. They're not as anti something as they are pro something, right? But when we pitch them as anti, then it's kind of like negative on them all the time.
Yep.
Right? And, you know, I want freedom, not socialism. But I don't know that I'm anti as much as I'm pro-freedom. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, sometimes we beat that stuff like a dead horse, but we need to, because I don't think people understand that how wordsmithed they are in our society, how manipulated the news really is. And oftentimes we even find ourselves saying the same phrases that they use. We've got to take back the narrative, folks. Speaking of that, the New York Times says Planned Parenthood is accused of mistreating pregnant employees, Kurt. Do you want to
respond
to that?
Yeah, well, this shouldn't really surprise you, Sam, because, I mean, wouldn't that be kind of like against Planned Parenthood's role or goal? They want to pro-death it, you know?
I think it's exactly the way they are. They, you know. Yeah. But the mainstream press doesn't focus on this much. I'm glad the New York Times highlights it, though.
Yes, good point.
I mean, rarely do I get to praise the New York Times.
It's unusual.
Oh, but I think they're right, Kurt. I mean, why is Planned Parenthood doing that? I thought they loved women and they cared for women and they took care of them and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think of that, Kurt?
I don't think Planned Parenthood's really pro life, Sam. I think they're pro-death.
Well, is there going to be any investigation on these accusations? And are they going to dig into that and create accountability for folks or what?
Well, we can't even get our Congress to quit funding Planned Parenthood and killing babies. So I don't see that really happening, do you?
No, but we got to work towards it and try.
Yeah, good point.
So I'm saying good for the New York Times for a change. It's super rare that I get to praise them. I commend them for highlighting this, and I think that we ought to have an investigation. And if there's criminal activity, Kurt, I think people ought to be accountable for that. We ought to have a speedy trial, and we ought to have a jury of their peers. We ought to really get to the bottom of it and stuff. We ought to have due process of law, but we really need to drill into this. Because, man, we can't be having Planned Parenthood or anybody mistreating employees, can we, Kurt? Not in the land of the free, home of the brave.
No, it's doesn't seem right, does it?
All right, final story. Nigel Farage is in the news, Kurt.
All right. Is this a recent one? Remind me.
Yeah, Trump supports Brexit because it will upend global bureaucracies. It'll upend them.
Yeah.
Get rid of them, huh?
It's, well, it'll, you know, cause troubles for them. And it's part of the whole New World Order kind of idea that we've been talking about for years. There are some in what they call the global bureaucracy that kind of want to own the world. And there are others who feel like, hey, they want to be their own countries. You know, your guys from England want to be from England. They don't want to be from the European Union, and et cetera. And so that's one of the problems here, and that's why President Trump has so much opposition, if you ask me.
Yeah. Anyway, all I know is I think Donald's right, and I think Nigel Farage is right, and I think we need to have less global trade deals, and I support the Brexit, too. There you have it. 2 hours in the can. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use the day after Christmas. You see, if we don't drill down in the news, how much you miss, ladies and gentlemen? News the networks refuse to use takes center stage. Fund your media. The new media matters, folks. He who owns the media makes the rules. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.